Have faith in God. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to look after the gift of faith that you have given us, so that we can see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly. In Jesus' name, amen. The reading is taken from Mark chapter 11, verses 22 to 24. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. What does that actually mean, to have faith in God? The first thing you need to know is that faith is a substance, and it enables you to experience a relationship with God and express His nature and character to those around you. The Bible tells you in Hebrews 11, verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You see, even though faith is an invisible substance, effects of faith can be seen and felt by those around you. In other words, as I just read, if anyone comes to God, he must believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The substance of your faith is clear to be seen by all those who come in contact with you. Such a man was Stephen, mentioned in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 6, verse 8. And it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen was noted to be a man full of faith. Here you can see that a person's faith is noticeable by the way he carries himself. Therefore, the degree of faith in God that you have is noticeable by those around you. Although you cannot see faith, others can see and feel the results of your faith. Whatever you are and whatever you're going to be is and will be as a result of your faith in God. The perfect explanation of faith is given in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, which says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. In other words, there must be evidence of your faith in God. There must be works to show the results of the faith you have. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. Faith in God is a gift from God. It is not something you can earn. It is not yours to keep, but His to share. The capacity of faith that you have should not be used for you alone, but for the benefit of others. God expects you as a believer to live, as stated in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, which says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The challenge for the Christian is to be aware that there are three types of faith. The first type I want to look at is, one, no faith. And this we can read in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Here we see the divine authority of Jesus over the forces of nature. He is superior even to a storm, which caused experienced fishermen to panic with alarm. It also shows his true and real humanity, for you can see by the mere fact that he was sleeping that he had evidently toiled up to and almost beyond the limit of his strength. On no other occasion is his sleeping mentioned, but he needed sleep just as he needed food. Some theologians have thought that the story was intended to bring a message of peace to a storm-tossed church in a time of persecution. The disciples were in a path of obedience. But even obedience brings no immunity from trouble. Dangers will still confront the church, even when you are engaged in carrying out the Master's commands. Nevertheless, there is no ground for cowardice or fear when confronted with the storms of life. What applied to his disciples apply to you and me. You know enough about Jesus to enable you to trust and believe that neither can the Messiah perish in a storm, or will allow you or me to perish because of our obedience. That's why he asked them in verse 40, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" To have no faith simply means that when you're confronted by storms or difficulties, you let them overwhelm you. However, the comfort that awaits you is that Jesus will still help you when you call on him to do so. The second kind of faith is called little faith. And this we can read in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 to 32. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "let me come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Many times we find ourselves in situations where we are keeping our eyes on Jesus and things are going okay. Then, without realizing it, we become distracted and start to do as Peter did. We focus on the wind and the waves and then start to sink. Nevertheless, Jesus remains faithful to us. And as soon as we call upon him, he helps us as he did with Peter. And he saves us. The third kind of faith I'd like to mention is great faith. As we read in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 10. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. And that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. This man's faith was such that he believed that the word of God was enough to heal his servant. He said to Jesus, just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. This is what great faith is. By the grace of God, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you receive your faith as a gift. How you live with your belief afterwards will determine the strength or type of your belief. Whether you have no faith, little faith, or great faith. God bless you, Pastor Philip.